Welcome to Career Tools. This week's guidance on email, deleting, and archiving it. Here we go. Folks, this guidance answers the questions of which emails can you delete, which ones should you keep, and why you should delete a lot more of the emails you do, read and unread. If your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's, and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us. Okay, Wendy, email, everybody's favorite topic. And I'm always shocked at the number of emails people have and keep. It's astounding to me, 20, 50, 80,000 emails.
It just makes me feel ill just thinking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of guidance out there, but people don't read it. So should we really be keeping so many of our emails? Is there a better way? You know, what do we do about deleting and archiving? What's our guidance?
There's two approaches. The all-in approach, which is delete everything older than 3 months. And the go slow approach, which is delete everything you can find somewhere else and archive everything older than 3 months. It depends on your risk tolerance.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's not risk tolerance. It's feeling of risk, right?
Yeah.
Because as most of you probably realize that if you're in a mid to large size company, in most nation states today, your email is required to be archived by the company. We're talking about corporate email, your official email that you don't own, that isn't yours, that can be looked at by your boss without any trouble at all. And when you delete your email, believe me, it's not actually deleted. So don't worry that we're telling you, this is not guidance about how to avoid the law, because you won't be able to avoid the law. Your company is taking care of that for you. But in terms of caring for your own inbox, you could probably get away with a lot less in your inbox. So start us, Wendy, with the all-in approach.
The all-in approach, if you're going to really go for it, is just to delete everything older than 3 months. And I can't tell you how nice it feels when you do that, when you have hundreds and hundreds and thousands of emails and you can just like clear them out. And it's beautiful and light and empty. And there's a saying that is, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So, you know, if you're the kind of person who has a messy desk, you probably have a messy inbox. And if you're the kind of person who has lots of things at home that you kept from all the years that you've been alive, you probably keep lots of things in your inbox, you know, just for sentimental value, which I don't think anyone would think of email as sentimental.
Should we make a distinction here between unopened email, unread email? What if somebody has 60,000 emails in their inbox and 9,000 of them are unopened? And of those 9,000, 8,000 are from more than 3 months ago. Are we recommending to delete everything that's unopened more than 3 months ago?
Yeah, because if it's unopened and more than 3 months old, you've pretty got a reminder.
What's the justification? How can we justify that to somebody who clearly thinks keeping that unopened, unread email from 4, 5, 6, 8 months ago is somehow necessary or important?
First, you're never going to reply to it anyway. You're never going to open it. If you haven't opened it in 3 months, like, how old are the emails that you're actually working on? They're probably only from the last 5 days, maybe 2 weeks. So you've got a bunch of stuff which is taking up mental energy and computer power that you're never going to look at.
Right. But what about the guys who say, yeah, it's taking up mental energy, I'm worried about it, but I'm also happy that it's there. So it sort of cancels each other out. Because if I get rid of all of them, you're right, they're no longer there, but now I'm a little bit worried about what I deleted. Well, I can answer my own question. Folks, if you're worried about an email that is unopened, that you didn't open 7 months ago, 6 months ago, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, 3 months ago. It's been sitting unopened for 7 months and you're sitting around worried about it. This is not the cast for you. That cast is called Psychology Today or Psychology Weekly. Your boss, your organization are not responsible for your mental health. You are. And we all have our own weaknesses, our own foibles. You know, I tend to procrastinate on things at times. I tend to be very high level and not into the details, when in fact, in some cases, details would help. I'm willing to admit what my weaknesses are. I think that's part of gaining wisdom. The idea that you feel better about keeping an email from 7 months ago and get frustrated when IT sends you a note and says you've exceeded your limit and you need to archive some of this stuff because you have too much email storage space on our servers. The fact that you feel that way is irrelevant to the organization. And one of the reasons that IT does across the board sweeps where they say, sorry, you got to get rid of all that stuff, is because people think it's okay to feel the way you do and therefore to use corporate resources to make you feel better. But that's not what corporate resources exist to do. They don't. And it costs money and time, and your satisfaction that you have that many emails, even though it's balanced by I'm worried that I haven't done them, is unfortunately not sufficient to justify the company holding on to it. Believe me, when you start your own company and people start saying, well, here, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Those things cost money. You'll start saying, no, I really don't think you need to do that. And Wendy, how many stories have you read of people who have said, I didn't want to do it, or my boss made me, or I finally cut the cord, my spouse, my significant other, my partner, my boss, a colleague said, you've got to do something, or I inadvertently deleted it all, and I discovered the incredible lightness of being. I discovered that feeling of, oh my gosh, I told myself that I felt better, that it was there, that I could get to it. But in fact, I realize now I was wrong. I remember when I was a kid, I got taught how to drive and I didn't know how to drive. My dad took me out to an open field at his father's farm and let me drive the Jeep. And we were driving around in a big open field, probably 25, 30 acres. Couldn't really rack. It's a very nice hay field. It's smooth. It's nice. And I'm driving around. And then he says, okay, go over here toward the fence. Be careful. And then drive between the fence and that telephone pole. Well, from 100 meters away, that fence and that telephone pole looked like 2 feet wide. And I said, I can't do that. 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 And I kept seeing it right until the moment that I drove through. And as I got closer, of course, the gap became wider. Just because you feel you can't do something doesn't mean it's not possible and doesn't mean there isn't goodness on the other side. So the answer to the question about how you feel, partially as a high D boss, I say, I don't care. And in order to make you feel better, it's expensive. And trust us, getting to the other side will feel better. And you might get in trouble slightly, but if somebody really needs you to respond to a mail and it's been 6 months, in the world we live in today, the answer is they don't need you to respond to it. Otherwise, they'd have emailed you again. So there's my answer to my question.
Very good answer. It's difficult. I can't put myself in the shoes of having the comprehensive, just the idea of, I'm not a keeper. I don't keep things. So it's hard for me to think about why you would. But anyway, you said just because we can keep everything, just because there's server space and whatever, doesn't mean that we should.
Yeah, and space on servers isn't unlimited. It's just not, guys. You may think it is, but there's labor involved in managing all that stuff. So all of the reasons that we hear for things are essentially justifications. That's what they are. In fact, I know of some places where they just delete the mail. It just automatically gets deleted. They don't even send out notes saying you're reaching your limit. They just start deleting, and they delete in chunks. And you know what happens in that case? Everybody starts behaving differently because there's not an unlimited resource in the minds of the user. This is a classic tragedy of the commons situation. I can use it as much as I want, however I want. Even though there are negative implications, doesn't matter. I get to do what I want to do. But unfortunately, when you join an organization, there are some things you give up in terms of personal freedom to allow the magnification of human effort that comes with the specialization of labor. And this is an example of one of them.
And when was the last time you looked at an email that was more than 3 months ago old and found it useful? Or or a document that hasn't been updated in the last 3 months?
Now, what about, though, an email that sent out a process change and then also maybe had a link into it? And you know where the process change is, but it's buried in 5 layers on the web. And I want to keep that document that I got a year ago that explains, let's say, our process for posting semi-annual financials, because I always forget it. I only do it twice a year. What do I do about that mail?
Take it out of your email and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's not, email is not a storage place for information.
Yeah.
That's not its job. It's a communication device. And so things like that, you don't want in your email.
Yeah. There are also people who feel that, what do we say to the person, and there's an awful lot of technology people who aren't as interested in relationships with colleagues. They simply want to do their work. There tend to be more high Ds, high Cs for you disk aficionados. And they say, well, I like to document everything. So that way I have defense, and I'll use a vaguely gray area phrase and say CYA, which is cover your rear end. And they say, you know, I need documentation. I need proof that you actually said that. My answer to that, of course, is no, you don't need proof. You really don't. And you can assert, you can say that this guy told me X.
I was shaking my head about covering emails for CYA because, first, 3 months later, nobody cares to see the email. Second, I have learned through trial and error that showing your boss the email that where he told you to do one thing and later told you to do another is not really very good for your career. And besides, if you're a honest, truthful person and you say, I understood this person to have said this, then the people around you have no reason not to believe you.
Yeah.
Unless you're going around telling small or big lies every day, in which case that's this wrong podcast.
For those emails that are CYA, just hive them off somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So there are some people, though, who are listening who are panicking right now, right? So let's talk about the go slow approach, right? If it's too much to delete everything, which I can tell you, folks, it's worth it. It feels good. But that said, if that feels too much, let's talk about deleting anything you can find somewhere else.
So anything, like we just talked about, a process, that process is documented on the website, even if it's inconvenient to get to, you don't need that email. If it's a semi-annual process and you only have to go through those 5 layers twice a year, that's way better than that email being one of 1,000 in your inbox unread, and then you've got to find it. So anything that's relevant to a project, which in most companies now, everybody's sharing documents. There's shared drives, there's SharePoint, there's Dropbox, all sorts of things where we share information. And that's where those kind of things should be, in a space that's available to everybody. If it's confidential and it's only a space only available to you, that's fine. But in some kind of repository, you don't need it in your email. You know, we used to keep things like train timetables printed out on cards on our desks. Where you can do that in 2 seconds on Google now, and so nobody has them. And there's lots of things like that where that information is readily available. You don't need the email or the document.
Yeah, and the fact is there's emails that you want to keep. And we make no bones about it, guys. You will delete emails older than 3 months that you'll regret having deleted. But it'll be far more rare than you're willing to admit, and there are ways around it. I remember when I deleted an email inadvertently from Mike, and it was the first time, it was when Mike emailed me, this is years before Manager Tools, when Mike was a client of mine as an executive, and he emailed me a note from his boss that said, he approved the $50,000 spend for an engagement I was going to work on for Mike. And I wanted to keep it. Actually, my first sale to a client was with John Hoffman years ago, but it was all over the phone because we didn't have email. but I wanted to keep that for Mike, and I inadvertently deleted it. Now, I can remember it, and do I really need the email? No, I really don't.
No. And how often did you look at it? as an email.
Yeah, I knew I had it, but I never looked at it. I mean, I ran across it periodically. It came up in random searches. But what's interesting is the only reason to keep something like that is for, you know, I could print it out and put it in my files, but what are the chances anybody's going to ever go through my files? I mean, I'm not going to be so famous that somebody's going to write a book like, you know, on Churchill, and the name of his biographer is escaping me, but boy, is it good. And so what's the good in having it?
I have a similar one. The first email exchange Maggie and I sent to each other when we both started at the company, which was around the same time. And yeah, if I think about it, it makes me smile, and it's in there somewhere, but I don't need it. If I deleted it, it would be fine.
Yeah. Here's a way to think about this, folks. I remember once somebody telling me, you don't own things. Things own you. Same thing with email. You don't own your email. Your email owns you. And the way you can eliminate that ownership of you is delete it or archive it.
Archive it. So if you really don't want to delete stuff, then you can archive it, which is put in a single folder that says everything older than 3 months, or a shorter title, probably because folders need short titles, or an archive. As far as I remember, archive on Outlook. You certainly could on Lotus Notes, which I loved. So if you archive everything and it's gone, or at least gone out of sight, out of mind, and you don't need anything in the next 3 months, then that might tell you something about whether or not you can delete stuff. If you really can't work yourself up to that, then just make sure you keep up with it. So if you did everything today, which is what, the end of April, then at the end of May, you need to make sure that you deleted February. So you only ever have 3 months in your inbox. It's so much faster to work with. It's fast. You know, you don't have if you do a search and you only have 10 choices rather than 1,000, it's so much more productive.
Yeah. And yes, folks, we know that your email is sort of, quote, how you do your business, unquote. But the fact is, things are probably moving so fast that the rare email that you can't find from a year or two ago, somebody else might have it if it's that important. And in the big scheme of things, it's just not going to make that much difference. But the amount of time you spend agonizing over your unread emails and the size of your inbox and so on is far greater than any negative associated with not having that one email you need to have.
Every time I've done this, I feel better. And every time I get to a shorter time, like I used to only be able to archive or delete everything older than a year. And then I realized I never look at anything that's older than 6 months. And then I did 6 months. And the difference is incredible. And then, you know, when I was doing 6 months, I realized, oh, wait a minute, I don't look at anything that's older than 3 months. So that went to.
Well, what I do is, in my particular case, because we are hosted elsewhere, what I do is I have my mail inbox and I delete it out of there, but it's still on the server. Mm-hmm. And if I really need it, I can go to the server and do a search. And I don't think about the server. I know it exists. I know how it helps me, but my client is where I do, my email client is where I do all my mail search. And most servers have archiving capabilities because they want you to archive.
Yeah, it's so much better for them.
Okay, what else?
That's it. It's easy. Just delete stuff. It's like highlight, press the delete button. Easy.
Yeah, I actually thought when email first came out that I needed to keep all of mine. And I since learned it took me longer. I'm saying now, folks, go ahead and delete or archive if you can't quite go the whole thing. But it took me a while to get there. And once I got there, it was much better on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Come back next week for more great career tools.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.